Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The title of our podcast today, we got a true crime slash mystery today. It's the man on the green bicycle, the murder of Bella Wright. It's about a murder that took place in 1919 over in jolly old England, Brandy.
Well,
somebody finally found Mrs. Wright and the bastards killed her.
Now, come on. This is a victim here. Poor Mrs. Wright. But wait a minute. She would have been dead anyway. We're allowed.
Well, by now, yeah.
Our rule is that we can make fun of victims as long as.
That's not our rule.
We don't make fun of victims. I'm just saying.
If they're already dead anyway.
If you're looking for Mrs. Wright, now you can't find her because some bastard killed her.
Yeah, she was born in 1897. She wouldn't have lived this long.
That's not our rule.
I would like to have
a
rules conference.
Nope.
After this.
There'll be no rules conference.
Hmm. What is this? She don't make the rules.
Yeah. I'm the queen.
Yeah.
Well, did you? Clearly you forgot.
I do the introductions.
The hierarchy.
I do the introductions. Without me, there is no show.
Oh, he's got the computer.
I've got a computer.
I got one over there.
I also write the scripts.
To make the whole world sing.
I do. All right. Well, let me remind everyone, Brandy, while you're rudely interrupting me, is that we do not always use proper language on this podcast.
Or proper English.
We never use proper English. Yeah. But we sometimes use adult language. And if adult language offends you.
As it does me.
Then you should check out one of the other wonderful true crime podcasts out there, like our friends with They Walk Among Us, the number one.
Or you know what you
true
should
crime
do?
Podcast
you should
knit
your
Britain.
You should do your little what are those things? Those you put the ring around a fabric needlepoint. Do some needlepoint, you tight ass motherfuckers.
Well, first of all, we have many listeners that
I like needlepoint, but they're
and
not
Mary
all.
Mary Ray does needlepoint.
I love Mary Ray, but she's
Jen
not offended
Wicks.
By.
Yeah.
Jim Wicks does needlepoint that says whore on it.
Whatever, still needlepoint.
Jen Wicks and I have been friends officially for a year on Facebook today.
I want to say Elise over in England, she does that really cool needlepoint. I'm pretty sure.
Well, we do not mean to offend those of you who do needlepoint.
No,
we already have.
We are not anti-needlepoint on this page.
No, we're pro-needlepoint, but we would like to say if foul language offends you, then you probably want to check out a different podcast because we're not very couth on this one.
Yeah, we're not. No, we're not at all.
I would like to introduce a lady who is known as Brandy the Benevolent. Her Majesty, Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm all right, Timmy. How are you doing?
Well, you're out over there issuing edicts.
Oh, I am.
I don't think you
I'm issuing the hell right out of them.
You issued a dick over there.
You're not allowed to issue edicts.
I am. As the monarch, it is my job. As the sovereign, 'tis my job.
How have you been, if at all?
I'm okay. I'm all right.
Okay, let's move along.
Hanging in there.
Yeah. See, we would spend more time on Brandy time if you ever had anything interesting
You know what? Here's the thing.
We got to beat shit out of you.
You have a whole week to come up with like 2 minutes of.
No, here's the problem. Right now, my life is a dumpster fire that I really don't want to get into.
Okay.
So just know that it's a kind of.
Oh, tell us more.
It's kind of a one day at a time kind of thing we got going here right now.
Yeah,
just
all right.
Plugging so through.
Your tears are like nectar to me, devil.
There's no tears.
It's like Mackenzie Phillips.
What, is it?
Yeah. Wasn't that the show she played on?
One Day at a Time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bonnie, what was her name?
Bonnie Franklin?
Yeah. I sing Bonnie Tyler.
Valerie Bertinelli.
That was someone else. Valerie Bertinelli was hot.
Oh, yeah.
She looks the same now.
She does. Yeah, she does. She's like Marie Osmond.
Marie Osmond's had some pretty obvious work done.
I don't care what kind of work she had done. I'd work her over.
How about Donnie?
Of course you would.
I'd do some work on her.
How about Donnie?
Donnie's a handsome man.
He's a handsome man, yeah. I ain't got nothing against Donnie.
I'd like to introduce the man who is really the moral
He's
compass.
One of your tribe, ain't he?
He is.
Yeah.
I'd like to introduce the man who's considered the moral compass,
is she.
Brandy.
He is not.
Of our podcast, a man who has been, well, he's been described as an oasis in the desert of despair.
By no one.
I do what I can to him.
The very honorable. He's been called your holiness before.
Never.
I have.
The Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
Well, please, please, Colonel, tell
Every
me why.
Time. I'm not good.
This is why I don't get, I'm not unloading on our listeners, so this dipshit can do it.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Colonel,
okay.
He is a man who does a lot for this world.
First of all,
he has many burdens.
He has no
burdens.
He has
burdens that you cannot even imagine.
However, I do want to hear how you fucked yourself. Please.
Yeah,
please,
because I was blaming Brandy for this.
Oh, okay. You were.
I made a remark. Brandy threatened to text.
No, wait a minute. Let's put it in context. The last podcast.
I made a remark. I gave away some
personal
information.
Family information.
Yeah. And
about Mrs. X.
And Brandy.
About Mrs. X. And,
someone you may or may not be married to.
And Brandy
pretended to text her to tell her what you were saying because, of course, she has very good taste and would never listen to this show.
No, not in a million years.
But she gets to hear him ramble, you know.
Yeah, she gets to hear him for free. So then.
So then after I got out of the thing.
Out of recording.
I got a phone call and I immediately assumed I was guilty, so I went back
and... You assumed
and
that you were in trouble.
Re-edited.
And told on yourself. You're skipping a whole part here.
Can we just get to the part where I had to edit this son of a bitch three times?
You told on yourself, basically, is what happened. You told on yourself and then had to go back and edit because she was pissed.
Wait a minute. So you get a phone call.
And it may have been Mrs. Colonel.
X.
It may have been Cody DePablo.
Okay. And this person said what to you when they called?
Have you lost your goddamn mind?
No. What was the first thing she said?
Just what are you doing? I'm done with this. I'm done with this whole thing.
So she says, what are you doing? And Chuck immediately spills his guts. So first of all, confessed. So we know, A, we can't take him to war.
No.
Because, you know.
Well, not only, it screwed up our listeners because then he had to edit it, of course.
And
he
didn't do a good job.
And he didn't do a good job. And he edited like the last 10 minutes of the show he cut off. So
boring. The last 10 minutes were boring.
I had to go in and load this thing like four times. So everyone's getting, if you've got like multiple
versions.
You get this thing on your feed like four times. It's because
Chuck told on himself.
Yes.
Chuck fucked himself.
I was trying to get us more downloads, Timmy.
I see.
Chuck fucked himself.
Other than that, Timmy.
And let me say that when I heard this story, it was the most.
Oh, I was mad at you.
Single like, most amazing thing
hell,
I'd ever
why
heard.
Why the hell does she do that? Why did she text her for
why?
It?
Why wouldn't you clear that up?
I didn't know.
You didn't know I didn't text her?
No.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Colonel. I hope things are better at home.
Again, it was Miss DePablo to call me.
All right.
She didn't want to be on TMZ.
Can't anyone gives enough shit about you to be on TMZ.
How's Rudy doing?
You know, Rudy, it's been snowing. Right. Rudy loves the snow, and I've been taking him out, and he's just been frolicking, Timmy.
Frolicking?
Frolicking. There's nothing like a dog frolicking in the snow, Timmy. Oh, he, by the way, he sent a message.
Yes.
He said he hates you, devil.
I don't care. I don't care.
He said if he ever sees you on the street, he's biting you.
He will not.
He said he will.
Nope. You know what? Is my fur nephew's was his second birthday. First birthday? Second birthday.
This is where we've gone with this. Yeah, we're finding out about fucking dog birthdays that don't even belong to you.
I know, but I love him so much.
All right.
I bet you do.
Well, I mean, this is fascinating.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the story.
It's because you hate your cat.
No, my cat is so fucking lazy.
Cat's going to eat you when you die.
It's. He hopes.
My cat is like, it attacks me every time I go to the kitchen. And it thinks, it's like it's clever. It's like I walk to the kitchen, she hides by the chair. I walk past, she jumps out. Every time. It's like, you know. Are you so stupid? I know what's going on. I know
you keep walking past the chair, though. So is she stupid? Or?
No, she's stupid. All right. The man on a green bicycle. Let's get into the story. It's enough of this nonsense.
She's in training. She's in ninja training.
The murder of Bella Wright, Brandy.
Okay.
Bella Wright. By the way, that means pretty. Bella, pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right means correct. She was pretty incorrect.
Or the opposite of left.
Yeah.
The green bicycle case was a murder investigation, Brandy.
Is there no resolution to this? I hate those.
Yeah. Well, really there is. I mean, I've got
I know who did it.
Yeah, I know who did it, too.
Read the script.
But it was never.
If you would have read the script, you know who did it.
Okay.
The green bicycle case is a rather famous case, I think, in jolly old England. I'm going to go to England. I'm going to go see Ben and Rosanna. By the way, Rosanna's birthday is coming up on the 19th, so happy birthday, Rosanna.
Happy birthday.
Chuck?
Happy birthday, my lovely English Rose.
And Princess Rosanna.
Princess Rosanna, yeah.
And my friend Sherry's birthday is also coming up, so happy birthday, Sherry.
Well, our birthday's coming up, too. I mean, how long are we going to do this?
Our birthday is not coming up for 6 more months.
Whatever. Evidently, this is what we're doing now. Come on.
All right. The Green Bicycle case was a murder investigation and trial pertaining to the fatal shooting of a young woman named Bella Wright.
Was it from a green bicycle? Was it a drive-by?
It must have been. She lived near Leicestershire
uh-huh.
Village in England. And it occurred, she had died on July 5th, 1919, which is one day after we were celebrating the 4th of July here in the United States on 1919. Do they have a July 4th in England?
I doubt it.
Yes, they do. They celebrate it. Bella Wright was killed.
What the fuck?
They have a July 4th? Bella Wright was killed by a single bullet, Brandy.
If for our English friends, that's the we kicked your ass day.
Yeah, no, that's the whoop, open up can of whoop ass.
Right? Whoop ass. But don't you think
they're celebrating now, man.
Looking
they're
back,
like, that should
I
be
know.
A holiday.
Looking back at the founding fathers, do you think, maybe we should have just hung on longer.
I think that all the time. Believe me.
We could have been
cool
a colony.
Look how cool Canada is. Look how cool. We should have been a dominion. We've been much better off.
We should have been. But you know what? Now Canada's can't come because of that whole.
Now Canada's can't come?
Canadians can't come because that whole, you know, shithole comment thing. Everybody knows Canada's a shithole country.
It is not.
Christy Lee is in Canada.
She's in Toronto.
No, but you have to remember.
Shirley Strap.
They kicked him out of Canada.
Oh, yeah, they did.
They did.
Yeah.
And bitches, you get back here, you can't even turn the money back in. American banks won't take Canadian money.
The loony.
I got loonies
you got
all
a house
over
full
me.
Of loonies.
I got a house full of loonies. I can't turn the some bitches in.
Some loonies in this room.
It's just,
No, we love our Canadian listeners.
Oh, my God. Just get on with it.
Bella
Green
Wright.
Bite.
Build the wall,
Bella Wright.
Timmy. Build the wall.
Bella Wright.
Up
she's
in Canada.
Dead.
Yeah, but, you know, I think they're going to need to build the wall. But, you know, I think they have to relook at the building the wall because, like, we're at, like, full employment.
There ain't nobody to build the wall.
We're going to have to build a wall like in Panama.
Just have to build a wall around my garden.
All right.
All right.
Bella Wright.
Yeah.
July 5th, 1919. She's dead. Clean bike. Bella keep going.
Bella was killed by a single bullet.
Yes, I heard.
You know, typically a story.
God damn it.
Has a beginning.
We almost got through the third sentence.
A climax and an ending.
I would love to climax just... about any time now.
I could give you one.
No.
I could do a spontaneous one over here.
That's okay, too.
Bella Wright was killed by a single bullet
wound. Oh, for fuck's sake, I know.
To the face.
To the face.
On the evening of her death.
Shut up. Luckily, it didn't happen. If it would have happened the evening after her death.
Luckily, she was home at the time.
She would have got shot the evening after her death. We wouldn't be doing this story.
Well, wow. Well,
you don't know.
We
don't know her life.
We could have still been doing it, but, you know.
Single gunshot to the face. She died.
She had been seen riding a cycling in the company of an unknown man, Brandy, riding a green bicycle.
The man or her?
The man was riding a green bicycle.
Okay.
Okay. So do you think it's a coincidence that she got shot in the face on the night of her death?
That is a hell of a coincidence.
I know,
I mean,
she had...
It might be a stretch.
I swear to Christ, tell me one more time she got shot in the face.
Why did we get bad reviews? Our latest review, I don't usually like talk about bad reviews because it encourages them, but we got 5 stars, and the person's, their favorite podcast, and they go on in the review to say everything that's wrong with it.
But?
It's a long list.
But we got 5 stars. So.
Yeah, so that's all right.
And they said they're a great podcast.
Yeah. All right. Annie Bella Wright.
Oh.
Antebellum. Lady Antebellum.
Oh, right. No, Antebellum. Annie Bella Wright.
Why didn't you use that in the first place? Why are we just now learning of this?
Was
so
this born.
She's royalty?
Oh, she's born.
I'm giving you her early life.
All right.
Okay.
She was born on
Move along.
July 14th, 1897. So she died just after her birthday, right? She's 22.
Might have been.
No, right before her birthday.
I was going to say it's before.
Mm. Yeah. Like 9
math
days.
Is hard.
Nine days before her birthday.
Somebody jumped out of a cake and shot her in the face.
She probably was pedaling to, maybe perhaps she was pedaling to make her party arrangements or going to the party store. You never know.
It's going to the club.
She was the eldest of 7 children of an illiterate agricultural laborer and his wife. Aww. Farmer, basically.
Dumb bastard.
No.
Is it illiterate? Perhaps he didn't have the educational opportunities that you and I have had.
He could make babies.
He could make babies.
You can teach yourself to read. How do you grow corn without knowing how to read?
Are you kidding? Can you grow corn?
Yeah.
You can?
I can. Goddamn right.
When have you ever
grow
corn?
I have grown corn. I have grown corn. I have grown barley. I've grown hops. I've grown.
I've seen his barley.
First of all, ew. Second of all, you couldn't identify corn out of a lineup of one.
Good.
No, you can't. You can't.
I think
grow
if
corn.
It was on a plate, he could.
I think that's stretching it.
I know corn. I know what corn seeds look like.
Corn's a lot of work, man. You know, it's not so bad if you get
so
it.
So both of you are gentlemen farmers now. Yeah, we are. Tell me.
We got our bib overalls.
Well, I'm
and
just
our
saying. You get if you
and
get
your big
corn
floppy
out,
hats.
If you get corn out of a can. It's pretty simple.
Yeah,
but when you
sure.
have to shuck that stuff,
yeah,
it's a lot of work.
It is.
It is.
I would just say, fuck it. I'll just get
fuck
it in
the
can.
Fuck the shuck. Fuck the shuck. I'm getting the can.
Yeah. You know what will fuck you up, though, is trying to – you can't plant the shit from the can in the yard and
you
grow
cannot.
Corn.
No.
Yeah, I learned that my first 2 seasons.
Your first 2 seasons?
Yeah.
It was the great corn famine.
Yes, the great corn famine of 1984.
All right.
There was no peas.
She lived in a cottage, Brandy.
There was no beets.
Christ.
She lived in a college, Brandy.
A college?
A cottage.
Okay.
In the village of Stroughton. I wonder if been in Roseanne. I know where Stroughton is.
I don't know, but Jesus Christ, they're not the only listeners we have.
No, they're my favorite.
Will you come on?
4 miles outside of Leicester. Okay. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Probably not.
Wait, no, you're not.
I'm going to go to England and I'm going to learn how to speak over there.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm going to see Roseanne and Ben this year. And
talk about dick in your
and
mouth.
Matt Johnson. I'm going to go see Matt.
Oh, I would not see Matt Johnson.
Well, he's a good guy.
What about Beverly?
No. Lady Beverly, yeah.
I would see Lady Beverly, but I'd be afraid to see Matt.
No, Matt's cool.
No, I think Matt's a little unhinged.
Oh.
You're unhinged.
He was here. I met him here.
I know.
You didn't talk to him here?
He's not unhinged.
Matt's a wee bit unhinged.
He's a nice guy.
We're all a wee bit unhinged.
Mm-hmm. But he's a good guy. Bella Wright had attended school until the age of 12, Brandy. And then she began work as a domestic servant. After that, she obtained a job at a factory. And she worked at Bates St. Mary's Mill. It was a rubber factory. They made rubber. Right?
Like,
and that's hard to do in England because there's not a whole lot of rubber plants.
You took a
I've grown
inventory.
Rubber before.
Yeah. You've taken an inventory of the rubber plants in England?
Have you ever seen rubber plants in England? No. They grow in South America. So you have to go all the way down there, get them first, then bring them to England to, you know,
make
assemble
rubber.
Them. Because assembly is hard.
I can't even stand that you are yammering on.
Her job was approximately 5 miles. Man, this is serious. Young lady dies. Show a little respect. Bella, her job was approximately 5 miles from her home.
Take this and hit my jugular. That'd be spectacular.
Where's your screwdrivers that Tommy Lane sent you?
They're at home. I got to put them in my purse.
You know, Tommy Lane's in Hawaii. I wonder if she was going underground when they had the...
I don't know. Did you just see a fucking nickel on the ground? What the hell?
No, I'm saying...
No,
you know,
I
understand. They had the nuclear attack the other day in Hawaii. I was thinking of Tommy then. I was wondering if she was caught up in all... I don't know where the hell the people were running to. Where are you going to run?
You're
on an island.
I go out into the water.
That's smart.
Yeah. Can't get burned in the water.
He's can't
smart.
Get burned. No.
Smart guy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Right.
He's fucking brilliant.
You won't follow him when shit goes down. You follow him.
Oh, the great corn farmer.
I'm sneaking away. I grew rubber too.
Did you?
Threw me a tire in the backyard.
Watched it grow.
First 2 years was tough.
Fucking jackass.
All right. So she worked in a rubber plant mill. Or whatever.
Dude.
Her job was approximately 5 miles from her home.
She jogged?
Her work was primarily... No, she rode a bike. Her work primarily consisted of constructing tires. That's an interesting work.
It's usually
interesting line of work.
It's usually what happens in a rubber plant.
I've got a great deal of respect for her. People work with their hands. Bella regularly traveled to and fro from her place of employment on her bicycle. Hmm. Okay. Seems reasonable. Yeah. Smart, economic.
Is it a vital part to the story?
Well, yeah, it is, because I'm going to get into that. In addition, at the time of her murder, I gave that part away.
I think establishing that she can ride a bike is good enough.
At the time of her murder, she was working the late shift at the factory, Brandy.
Oh.
Nothing good happens on the late shift.
No. Not riding your bike through the countryside.
No, but you can usually go out and get stoned on brakes.
By the dumpster.
Yeah, by the dumpster.
Yeah, you can't.
If you're just cruising along in the countryside headed to the night shift, you're just serial killer bait.
On your bike.
You might as well just hang a sign from your bike. Throw me in a shallow.
Put it on
your
might as well be hitchhiking.
Put it on the basket.
Might as well be hitchhiking in Oregon in the early 70s.
Exactly. Be a hitchhiker up in Seattle.
In addition, so she was working a late shift.
Yeah.
As such, in the summer of 1919... She is known to have cycled between villages and hamlets around Little Stratton, where she was from, to perform errands in the late afternoon. Okay, so she was a bicyclist, Brandy.
She may have been a prostitute.
No, she's performing errands.
Well, we don't know what those errands were.
She's like Grubhub.
I love Grubhub. It's my favorite now.
I know. It's changed your life.
It has. I never have to go out again.
No, you don't.
The 21-year-old Bella Wright was considered very attractive, Colonel. and self-assured young lady. What do you think about that, Colonel?
Well, I like attractive. Mm-hmm. Does it say what her breasts is were like?
No. Oh. I didn't get that in the research. I'm not sure if I saw a picture of her, actually. Kind of Google that, see if you can get a picture of her. She was often seen riding Bella Wright.
Bella Wright.
Okay. How did you not get that by now?
She was often seen, Brandy, riding alone through the countryside on her bicycle.
See? There you go. Just kill me. Bella Wright. Okay. That's two L's.
Yeah. Bella was engaged to be married, Brandy, to a Royal Navy stoker.
A stoker?
Mm-hmm. Named Archie Ward. Archie.
Oh.
Yeah. It's hard to get laid when your name is Archie.
Or Cortland.
Or Cortland, either one.
She was not an overly attractive woman.
Well, he served.
God damn, was she. This picture of her, she's 21 years old. They had hard lives back then, but she looks like she's a good 45.
Yeah, well, she worked in a rubber factory. It'll do that.
Yeah, it'll wear you out.
Working on with rubbers all day.
Yeah. Yeah, tell us about the devil.
Archie, her fiancé, he served on Her Majesty's ship, the Didom. It was a training ship in Portsmouth, England. So, she's got a job. She's got a boyfriend.
Fiancé.
Yeah. Well, he's a stoker.
Well.
So, things are looking up for young Bella. She had it going on.
Sweet.
She was known to have at least one other suitor, though, Brandy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And told her mother of an officer who had fallen in love with her. And this is important to the story. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This may have been a man by the name of Ronald Light.
She can't find a decent name.
Although he denied.
So hold on.
It's him.
She's Mrs. got a boyfriend. Wright found Mr. Wright.
No. His name is Light.
Oh, Light.
Yeah. So okay. So Bella she's engaged to be married to the guy in the Navy, Archie Ward, right?
Okay.
But there's rumors that she's got a beau, another guy who is trying to get her affection, right? And his name is, we don't know his name. She told her mother he was an officer. And
was he a gentleman?
We don't know about if he was a gentleman or not. It depends on whether he murdered her. But this is, the people in that little village suspected that this was by a guy by the name of Ronald Light, although he would deny this allegation. On Saturday, July 5th, 1919, she set out on her bicycle to mail some letters in the village of Evington, a few miles away, Brandy. She returned home and then proceeded to the village of Gullaby to visit her uncle, George Majors. Are you with me so far?
She's following you, Timmy.
She's pedaling
I'm tracking
around.
You. She's just on that bike. She got a little dog on the front, little basket.
When she arrived at her uncle's, she was accompanied by an unknown man, Brandy.
Dun, dun, dun.
He was riding a green BSA bicycle.
He was living large.
And he was wearing a raincoat, even though it was a clear day.
Oh, he's a flasher.
Ain't nothing impress a girl like a green bicycle when you pull up next
Well, you got
to
a raincoat. Raincoat.
Or a raincoat, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so you with me so far?
We're with you.
All right. George Majors, her uncle, expressed concern about the stranger, but Bella, he took her aside and said, hey, I'm concerned you're hanging out with this guy in this raincoat. That's usually not a good sign for a young lady.
I can see his dick.
I don't think he said that.
He's gonna get that tripped up in the spokes. Yeah,
exactly.
Anyway, he told her that he was concerned, and Bella said not to be alarmed, okay? So she wasn't that concerned at this point.
Clearly. Mm-hmm.
She wasn't concerned till the bullet
hit her in the
face. When
she left her uncle's cottage an hour later, she again met up with the stranger, and the two of them rode off together.
Into the sunset.
All right.
You've done one page.
One page.
Holy shit.
Around 9:30 that night, Brandy.
Yes.
These are important clues. You got to kind of
come on. Stay with us here, Cluso.
Around 9:30 that evening, a farmer by the name of Joseph Caldwell. 9:30 that evening, a farmer named Joseph Caldwell came across the body of a young woman lying in the road.
Who was it?
While he was driving his cattle along. That's what they do over there. They drive cattle. I think Ben and Rosanna drive
cattle. Cattle or kettle?
Cattle.
Okay. Cattle. So he was herding cows and found her body.
Yes.
Okay.
Get along, though, doggies.
There was a pool of blood around her head, Brandy.
Indicating.
And her face was covered with blood. He noticed her bicycle laying nearby. Okay. When he lifted her up, he quickly realized that she was dead.
Well, yeah, that'll do her.
And he moved her to the side of the road.
You don't want her in the middle of the road.
Well, he's got his cows going through there.
I don't know if they're on the road either.
All right. No, so he moves her out of the road, takes her to the side of the road. Yeah, you shouldn't move the body though, right?
Yeah, this is back in the day. It didn't matter.
All right. He arranged for two farm hands to guard the body while he summoned the police. I don't know where she was going to go, but...
Well, no, you don't want vandals coming by.
Yeah.
With her body limp and her face extensively bloodied, she had deep gouge marks visible on her cheeks and jaw, Brandy.
That sucks.
Yeah. Surmising that the girl may have been run off the road by a motorist... probably one of those old guys driving a Model T with the goggles.
I'm picturing a guy in a
the Red Baron
motorcycle with a sidecar.
Oh, yeah. Is it cool?
I bet he clipped her with the sidecar.
Okay. So that's what they initially thought it was an accident. She fell off her bicycle and was fatally injured. Okay. When the police arrived with Dr. E.K. Williams, the local.
He's very good.
Yeah. He made an examination, a courtesy examination of the body, and also concluded...
What kind of examination?
A courtesy.
Courtesy?
No. Cursory?
Excuse me.
Examination. And he concluded that the young lady had met her fate by an accident. So he also...
So clearly we got Quincy in here doing this shit.
Yeah.
She fell.
I don't know if he was a local town doctor, but he was riding too fast
and fell on a bullet.
Yeah.
The body was taken nearby chapel in Little Staten.
Where?
Okay. Staten.
How the fuck do you get shot in the face and people don't know it?
Well, but not all police were convinced that her death was an accident, Brandy.
The gaping wound in her cheek was kind of a dead
Police
giveaway.
Constable Alfred Hall.
Oh, Alfie.
Al.
Big Al.
He returned the next morning around 6:30 to conduct a closer inspection of the scene, and he discovered a .45 caliber bullet laying approximately 17 feet from the body where it had been laying. You ain't got that, Brandy.
I think some heads will roll.
Next, he returned to the chapel where the body was, and he washed the dried blood from the woman's face. It was then that the real cause of death was determined. She had, Brandy, been shot.
In the face.
Yes, in the head. Forehead. No. The bullet had entered her face just below her...
You should read this before you start.
I did when I wrote it 3 weeks ago. The bullet had entered her face just below her left eye and exited on the right side of her face near her temple. Well, so yeah, kind of.
So it bounced.
It was not long before the woman's identity was made known. It was Bella Wright.
And I'm glad it wasn't somebody else.
And she had been last seen in the company of an unknown man riding a green bicycle.
With a raincoat with his dick
out. With a raincoat.
His raincoat and his dick out, yeah.
The police investigation uncovered a few leads. And the murder was destined to remain unsolved until the following year when an important clue turned up by circumstance. So they did an investigation, right? They couldn't find this man and this green bicycle, okay?
Okay.
A year goes by.
Thanks for the recap.
Yeah.
But what they did learn in their initial investigation, several people had seen Bella in the company of a man described between the ages of 35 and 40. With a broad, full face, between 5'7" and 5'9" inches in height, and wearing a gray suit, a gray cap, collar and tie, and black boots.
Dick out.
The chief constable at the time issued numerous appeals to both the local and national press, urging this man to come forward and assist them with their inquiries. Okay? Nonetheless, these appeals proved unsuccessful. Thorough checks of all the premises where bicycles were bought and sold or repaired. They searched all these places to find this green bicycle, but they were unable to find one. The investigation seemed Brandy to be at an impasse. Poor Bella Wright, and this is sad, she was buried in the churchyard of St. Mary's and All Saints Church on July 11, 1919, in a ceremony conducted before several hundred mourners. So this young lady...
I mean, it's sad that she died, but you're acting like she got buried in a pauper's grave.
Well, no,
they could have left on the side of the road.
I mean, it's sad she died. She's a young lady. She's only 21, just short of her 22nd birthday.
Yep.
Okay. So, and they, at this point, it's a cold case at this point, right? Because they run into a brick wall. Well, not literally, but the investigation has slowed. All right.
So a break in the case came several months later when on February 23rd, 1920, Enoch Whitehouse.
That's a cool fucking name, Enoch. I would love. I might have to change my name from Diablo
Horatio
Fontaine. I might have to get Enoch in there.
I think that's too close to Enoch for me.
Or eunuch?
Eunuch.
Uh-huh. So
if you're a eunuch, do they cut the whole stuff off or they just cut your balls off?
I think they just, I don't know.
Or are you physically castrated?
Look that up.
No, I am not going to look at it. But are you physically castrated? You're not chemically castrated. It's physical castration, right?
I think so.
Well, the Greeks did it. I don't know that they had chemicals to do it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, with chemical castration, it just makes
you... Can we talk a little about Enoch?
Impotent. Okay.
Fine.
Impotent?
Yeah.
Does it?
I'm very impotent.
Makes you very impotent. I'm an impotent man around here, devil.
All right, so
continue.
Enoch was...
They have Viagra now, guided. So I don't know if they... But I wonder if you go through chemical castration, if you get Viagra, does it work?
It probably cause a lot of confusion in your
junk
down there.
I hate to get confusion in my junk, Brandon.
You know what?
You know,
ain't nothing worse than confused junk.
Confused? Yeah. When my junk gets confused, it costs me money.
It does. Don't play. You know what? Playing with my junk's emotions is like playing with my money, Timmy.
I know, yeah.
Noah informed me last night that he had a twinkle nut. I said, I don't understand. What does that mean? You know, like twinkle, twinkle, little star, I have a twinkle nut. I'm like...
Well,
he's like, it shines so brightly. I don't understand little boys.
No, let him. Don't rain on his brain.
I pictured
brain.
A disco ball. Wait. All right. So he's guiding Enoch.
Enoch. Eunuch.
He's guiding a horse-drawn barge full of coal along the River Sore when he...
Hold on. Hold the fuck on.
Hold on. Sucks.
A horse-drawn barge down the river.
Yeah, the horse
so
is all drowned.
You got some swimming motherfucking horses in here.
Are they drowned? Look, I'm reading.
Horses
only do it
can't
once.
Swim.
I'm reading what's
you
written.
You ever heard of something horsey paddling? No, the horses don't swim.
Horses can swim.
No, they can't.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, horses can swim.
When's the last time you've seen a swimming
horse? Horses can swim,
I've
you ignorant
John
son
John
of a
Wayne
bitch.
Donkeys. Donkeys can swim. They jump off the diving board. But horses can't swim.
Shush. All right, so he's hauling this. I don't know. He's by the River Sore when he notices the tow rope dip below the water and then tighten up as if it had snagged on something.
Uh-oh.
Slowly, he noticed an object emerge from below the water. The tow rope had become tangled around the frame of a green bicycle.
Okay, Colonel, we got the green bicycle.
Soon, the banks of the river were crawling with police, searching the river for more evidence. When they examined the bike frame, they noticed that someone had gone through great pains to destroy any identifying evidence from the bike. However, eventually, they uncovered a faint serial number inside the front fork. They traced the serial number back to the agent who had sold the bicycle. A search of his records showed that the green BSA bicycle had been sold to a Mr. Ronald Light of Derby on May 18th, 1910.
I would just like to say this, a couple things. First, He's riding around with a 9-year-old bicycle. That's one thing. Second, that's pretty good record keeping for 1919. I mean, before they had databases and shit, spreadsheets and shit. You think that's pretty good that they could trace that back?
It's amazing.
Motherfucker had a pencil, some paper.
Yeah, a ledger.
Yeah. Yeah. Hieroglyphics. Ledger. I mean, chiseled the shit on the wall.
No, I mean, that's pretty. I mean, you know, you wouldn't think that the record keeping would have been as good back then. I wouldn't. I mean, the serial number for a bike that had been bought, what is this now, 9 years earlier or something? I think it's pretty impressive. English got their shit together, Colonel. We should have been Englishmen. We should have been country farmers.
Yeah.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. Aside from the fantastic record keeping of this fucking bike shop.
I'm impressed with that fucking bike shop.
Ronald Light was born in October of 1885. He lived a privileged life. His father was a successful inventor of plumbing devices.
You think the Colonel I could have been a country gentleman?
No. Unfortunately, Light's...
I am a country gentleman.
Well, I mean in England.
Oh, in England I could have been.
Unfortunately, Light's life consisted...
Hello, mate.
Oh, God,
how
no.
you doing there, chap? Going down to the pub to get me some kippers and a pint.
Kippers.
Stop talking.
Okay. Sounds English to me.
Might throw me some darts.
Light's life
What's
consisted.
Some football on the telly?
It's really bad. Like, that's so bad.
Knock him up.
So bad.
Ben told me I did a good English accent.
He? Well, yeah. I think he was just trying to pacify you. So he has a series of misfortunes, mostly of his own making. In 1902,
I got vertigo, Colonel, because I thought I was in England for a minute.
Jesus Christ. In 1902, he was expelled from Oakham School.
Sorry there, old mate.
At the age of 17 for lifting a little girl's clothes over her head.
Oh, that's not cool.
At 30, he attempted to have sex with a 15-year-old and admitted to improper conduct with an 8-year-old. Why is she even running around with this slime ball?
So this guy's a creep.
In addition, after graduating from... Birmingham University as a civil engineer. He was employed at Midland Railway Works in Derby. He was fired in 1914 when he was suspected of setting fire in a cupboard and drawing indecent pictures on the lavatory wall.
Well, he probably could have got by with drawing the pictures, but, you know, setting the fire was
yeah.
over the line.
Yeah.
When war broke out in 1914, Ronald Light was commissioned as a second lieutenant in the Royal Engineers in 1915. For reasons not disclosed, he was court-martialed and relieved of his duties in 1916.
If he gets court-martialed, did we have to thank him for his service?
No.
All right.
During this time, his father...
He's English. We don't have to thank him anyway.
Yeah, we were on the same side.
During this time, his father fell out of a two-story window, an apparent suicide. Ronald returned to Derby to live with
Hard
his
to come
mother.
Back from that.
It's you
a
know,
two-story window.
That's a ballsy move right
How
there.
How do you die out of a two-story
because
window?
You got to go. If you're going to do it, if I'm ever going to do it, I'm going at least 14 floors.
Here's the thing.
Because I ain't going to be one of those people waiting on
well, see,
somebody
to feed
me with
a Well, see, if you jump out of this two-story window, you have to do it repeatedly.
I know you have
well,
to
Well, yeah, that's
going.
The thing. I mean, two stories, you have to go
After
head
about,
first.
By
yeah.
About six times, you'll yeah. perish.
Right. Well, we hope. I think maybe he might have been pushed, but I'm just saying.
All right.
So he's living. So he goes back to live with his mother, but rejoined the army. He was court-martialed
because the army probably did not have good enough records like the bicycle shop.
Probably not. But he rejoined the army as a gunner in the Honorable Artillery Company.
Those can kind of desperate by then too.
Yeah, that's what it has. He's in a trench somewhere. He's going over the top.
He's fodder.
There you go. Yeah, just go over there.
Yeah, we'll take you back.
He was demobilized in 1919 and went home and sent home suffering from shell shock.
Oh, that's serious shit.
Yes. Well, we call it PTSD.
Yeah. Have you ever seen videos of this? People
yeah.
Shell shock.
Yeah.
Oh, they're some messed up guys.
Light had begun teaching mathematics at Dean Close School when on March 4th, 1920, his life changed forever.
Okay.
Police arrived at the school and arrested him for the murder of Bella Wright. Police continued to drag the river Soar, searching for clues, and on March 19th, 1920, they dredged up an army holster and a dozen live .455 caliber bullets. The revolver was never found. When examined, the bullets were a match to the one PC Hall had found. They were eventually proven to belong to Ronald Light.
Okay, this is matched to the gun that was used to kill Bella Wright.
That is so what I just said.
Yes.
But thank you for that.
Yeah,
Ronald Light went on trial.
Sometimes our listeners are a little slow. So
are
they?
Yeah,
I like to paint a picture.
Are they?
Yeah.
Some of them are.
Yeah.
Some of them are.
No, they're not. Sometimes you two are slow. You got to catch up yourselves. Ronald Light went on trial at Leicester Castle in June of 1929. He was defended by the Sir Edward Marshall Hall, and the trial lasted 3 days. Press coverage of the trial was sensational, but it was clearly biased towards Ronald Light. His sordid past never made it into print. He was honored as an ex-army officer, an engineer, and a teacher. Bella's character, on the other hand, was reduced to a mere factory girl with questionable morals.
Yeah, I'd say. Attorney, driving about the countryside, making all those stops,
you know, carrying, Nick, air quotes, groceries to people.
Oh, you know, yeah, Nikki Brooks on our page, she lives in the Midlands.
Does she?
Okay. Attorney General Gordon Hewart opened for the prosecution. He laid out the facts of the case as follows. 1. It was proven that Light bought an enameled green BSA bike. The day before the murder, he took the bike in for repairs. 2. The day of the murder, when he picked up the bike, the mechanic noticed he was wearing a raincoat. 3. Mm. After the murder, he was never seen riding his bike again. 4. He was known to be in possession of a revolver. 5. After leaving Galby, Light made an inappropriate advance toward Bella, and she fled. In her haste, she mistakenly took a longer route home, leaving Light the opportunity to take a shorter route in order to overtake her.
This is a motherfucker like Snidely Whiplash.
6. He laid in wait until she appeared, and then he shot her.
Why didn't he just tie her to the railroad tracks?
I don't know. The prosecution called ballistics expert, let's not go that far, Henry Clark, to draw a connection between the bullets found in the river and the one found near Bella's body. However, Sir Marshall Hall was brilliant in his cross-examination of Clark. He was able to get Clark to concede.
Sir Marshall Hall is a pretty good barrister.
Yeah. That's a pretty good name, like, too. Pretty impressive.
He's like Raymond Burr. It's like Ironsides.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's
But you know what I never liked about Ironside?
Wow.
A really good lawyer would jump up and say, "I object."
Yeah. Well, that
Ironside could just throw his hand up.
He was a detective, Ironside. You're thinking of...
who am I thinking? It's Raymond Burr. Help me.
Perry Mason.
Yeah.
Cannon. He was that big fat guy running down the street.
And he was still chase people, though.
Yeah.
Chase Burt, run his fat ass.
He had a car phone.
Was he the fat man of Jake and the Fat Man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he would run to chase these criminals.
I bet he's dead now.
Probably had a heart attack on set from running after somebody.
What was his name? I'll look it up.
All right, good.
Continue.
Good, because we're all waiting. Okay, so.
How'd you like to have a show and say, hey.
we want you to be the fat man.
We're going to call it Jake and the Fat Man, and you like, which one am I going to be?
Yeah, clearly you're the fat man.
Yeah, I guess you get paid well enough. You're okay with that, but.
All right, so he was able to get Clark to concede that the bullet could easily have come from a rifle.
Could have come.
I don't believe that.
Could have easily come from a rifle. .454. No, this was a .455.
William Conrad.
Oh. Yeah, okay. William Conrad. I liked him.
He went on to make the case that the fatal shot had been accidentally fired from some distance away.
Mr. Conrad Rad left us in 1994.
He was the original pick to be the Scarecrow in Wizard of Oz.
Really? Because he was too big?
He was too fat.
Based purely on conjecture.
Of
course he did. Based purely on conjecture, he cast doubt on the fact that Bella had been shot at close range, which would have been necessary if Light had shot her with his revolver.
So they're trying to establish here, Brandy, some reasonable doubt.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. I went to law school.
Failed the bar.
I did not take the bar.
Same thing.
No.
He all but got Clark to admit.
I object.
That the damage to Bella's face could have been more severe if this had been the case. Light took the stand in his own defense and admitted that the green bike was his. He claims that after he read about the murder, he hid the bike in his closet for 5 months. He didn't want to go out in public for fear of worrying his ailing mother.
They didn't have spray paint back then.
So he was saying he had a green bike. He didn't want to be seen in public with it because then he didn't kill her, but he didn't want
right.
to.
Why didn't he just spray paint it? That's what we used to do with bikes suspicion. When we was trying to change.
He decided
colors.
It was best to get rid of the bike instead. So he went to the River Soar, dismantled the bike, and threw it into the river piece by piece. Unbeknownst to him, the entire event was witnessed by a laborer named Samuel Holland. He also admitted that the holster and bullets were also his, and that he had disposed of the clothes he was wearing that day. Nothing suspicious at all.
Well,
don't look at me.
Look at me.
I mean, sometimes you get that river water on you, and you got to just strip down naked and walk home naked. He didn't mind being naked.
Well, he had his dick out all the time.
All the time.
So, Colonel, tell us what happens next in this trial.
Well, Timmy, let me
clear your throat, Colonel.
Yeah, let me bring some life to this thing.
I know. I mean,
the devil's over here been monotone zombie-like.
Yeah.
Now, as for the revolver, Timmy, he claimed that he was not in possession of the revolver during the time of the murder. He was like,
seems reasonable, Brandy.
Yeah.
It does.
Because it had been taken from him when he was in France during the war.
It's all the way over in France.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. According to him, he met Bella on his way to Little Stretton, Timmy. Mm-hmm. She was stooping over her bicycle and asked if he had a spanner so she could tighten up her
spanner.
Loose. She stooped over and wanted a spanner to tighten up her loose freewheel.
Yeah. How many times you heard that?
I know. You know what she wanted. Yeah, I told her, no, but offered to accompany her to, which she accepted, he said. When they reached Galby, he went to have a flat tire mended while she visited with her uncle. He met up with Bella again as she left the college, and they parted ways shortly after leaving Galby. When his tire again, goddamn thing, flattened, and he realized he was going to have to walk. By this time, he had lost control of himself and dismantled his bike and threw it in the river because he had two flat tires.
Boy.
That's not what he did, but that's what I would have done.
What do you think about that, Brandy?
I'd have taught that motherfucker a lesson. Two flat tires in one day. That some bitch had been swimming like those horses, and horses don't swim. So anyway, he met up with Bella.
It's a tragedy within a tragedy.
Right? It is, really. Hit a horse on the head with your bicycle. He met up with Bella again. When's the last time you seen a horse swim? If horses could swim, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid still be alive. So anyway.
He's got a point.
What?
He's got a point.
He does not have a point.
Throughout his entire well-rehearsed.
You see, your problem is, Brandy, you don't have the capacity to follow his logic. Yeah. You know, it's like you listening to Einstein. This is blah, 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 blah. But when you got the capacity, the mental capacity, intellectual capacity to follow him, he's brilliant.
Well, basically, it's like having Tesla come in and talk to baboons.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's just pearls before swine, really. Anyway, that's a biblical reference. You wouldn't know that one, Devil.
She worships Satan. How is your Satan worshiping going, Brandy, by the way?
Fine.
Hell.
I'm good, thank you.
So anyway, he met up with Bella after leaving Garvey. Now, throughout his entire well-rehearsed testimony, he remained poised and in control. And during his cross-examination, Timmy, the prosecution was unable to rattle him or shake his testimony.
Could not rattle or shake his testimony.
Cool cucumber.
Have you ever shaked your testimony, Colonel?
Huh?
Have you ever shaked your testimony?
I've shake.
Timmy. All right.
Shake my
testimony. I wish Brandy could follow her life. See, she just reads the words. She don't.
Yeah. No, she don't. She don't
comprehend.
See, Timmy, your words, Timmy, they're like little jewels, Timmy.
And nuggets of.
And it's our job to put them together as pieces of jewelry.
Well, I know you understand that.
She just takes the jewels and looks at them and says, shiny.
I know.
And then just spins them down.
She really needs to work on her delivery. She really does.
She does. But not the only thing she needs to work on. But
yeah, I mean, that's like, where do you start?
Exactly. You know, let's. You know what? We should dedicate, I don't know, 4 or 5 shows to how could we help Brandy be a better person?
Brandy, have you thought about ever trying to be a better person?
Have you given it any thought whatsoever?
No.
Okay. We're trying to help you. And we're saying these things out of love, Devil.
Yeah, out of love.
Out of love. You know we care about you.
You watch Intervention. You know how that's all about.
Yeah, it's just that you're a horrible person.
Yeah, and we're coming from a place of love when we say that.
Yeah. You're terrible, terrible person.
We love you, but you're
person.
A miserable human being.
Yeah. If you was a dog, they would have put you down by now.
But so, we love you.
But we love you, and we just want to make you better, Devil.
Yeah.
So, anyway, back to the story,
she's
Timmy.
She's texting Renee again.
Throughout the entire, well, he was, so he couldn't be rattled. A fact appeared to have impressed the jury. They deliberated for 3 hours before returning their verdict.
What was it?
Not guilty.
Brandy.
What?
With all this evidence, the bicycle, the gun, the eyewitness accounts, the jury found Mr. Light not guilty of the murder of Bella Wright.
Immediate.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Dude, I watched the entire Casey Anthony trial.
Okay.
Nothing surprises me anymore.
Okay.
Immediately afterwards, there could be heard a loud cheering for both inside and outside the courtroom. When asked about the verdict, members of the jury declared that they were confident that Light was innocent.
They were confident, Brandy, that he was innocent.
They were also expressed the opinion that there had been no murder at all.
No murder at all.
She just happened
accident.
To fall upon the bullet. She was riding down the road and drove right into the bullet's path.
How do you come to the conclusion that there was no murder? She got a bullet hole in her head.
She got Lee Harvey Oswald was
over.
Oh,
man.
So anyway, following the acquittal, Light returned to live with his mother in Leicester, where he maintained a somewhat reclusive lifestyle. Much
reclusive,
like yourself, Timmy.
Yeah, well, I wonder if
he didn't have Grubhub.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, it was rougher to be reclusive back then, Brandy.
Well, and it's got that English food.
He didn't have Grubhub.
And they didn't have Grubhub.
For a while, he changed his name to Leonard Estelle, and for the most part,
and why would
law.
You name your name change your name to Leonard Estelle? I'd rather be Eunuch, or whatever hell is.
And he, for the most part, lived a law-abiding life. Now, in December 1920, he was fined for registering under a false name at a hotel where he'd been staying with a woman.
Staying with a
How
woman,
How many times
Brandy?
You registered under a false name at a hotel?
Did you ever go to a cheap motel, Brandy, and register under an assumed name?
Mm-hmm. Try to get a B in that economics class.
Did you ever do that, Brandy?
No.
All right.
By 1928, he was living in Laysdown on the Sea in the Isle of Sheppey in Kent.
Okay.
In 1934, he married widow Lillian Lester. Lillian and her daughter lived a quiet life with Ronald.
Lillian.
No phone for you, Lillian. Now, he died on 15 May 1975 at age 89.
May 15th, when? 1979?
75 at the age 79.
That's the year the Reds won the World Series. He probably did not get to live to see that.
No, the poor bastard. His body was set on fire near Ashford.
Well, he lived to be pretty old then. Cause
he was 89, motherfucker. I've said it 8 times. 80 motherfucking 9. His body
he was
89, set,
Brandy.
His
That's
body
what I heard.
Was set on fire. Right. His ashes were scattered in a crematorium's Garden of Remembrance. Hmm. Ronald had no children of his own, and his stepdaughter had no notion of his trial and acquittal until after his death.
Yeah, today, this is what, he died 70 years later, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, today, the Leicester City Council holds an annual guided bicycle ride, which reenacts the case without the actual bullet entering somebody's face.
Well, that would be more realistic, right?
It'd be more fun. I mean, be more dad. I bet you can get more people to go.
I would go.
Yeah, I'll sponsor you in that race, motherfucker. Here's $10. Devil, you want to take a bike ride? Here you go. Participants visit significant locations pertinent to the events on July 5th and a police investigation before progressing to Leicester Castle, where segments of Light's trial are reenacted.
Yeah, so this is a big famous case.
For several decades following his acquittal, his green bicycle hung on the wall of the bicycle shop, although its current whereabouts are unknown, probably in the river because it got another flat tire. In a Christie's auction held in 1987, an anonymous bidder purchased the bullets and holster recovered from the River Soar, presented it as evidence at Light's trial for $6,000 American.
$6,000, Brandy.
Six G's. Six big ones.
Amazing.
Okay, Brandy, your final thoughts on the man on the green bicycle, the murder of Bella Wright.
I think that the justice system, not our justice system clearly, but the Brits screwed that one up.
So you think Mr. Light was guilty of murder?
No, he did it.
You know he did it?
Oh, I think he did it.
Sounds pretty judgmental to me. Colonel, your final thoughts.
She's prejudiced.
Your final thoughts on the murder of Bella Wright.
I think that they should have thrown his ass in the Tower of London, Timmy.
Yeah, I think he did it too. So good thing we were not on the trial, or Mr. Light would had to pay his debt to society, Brandy.
Yes.
All right. We would like to thank all of you for listening, and we'd especially like to thank all of you who are very kind and generous and support us on Patreon. If you would like to support this podcast on Patreon, please go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot.
Or just a wee little bit to me.
Okay, so...
Or maybe, just a little spot, mate.
I like that, Colonel.
Yeah. Just a spot. Just a pence. A quid or two.
A quid or two.
Just to give a quid or two, Tim.
A quid would be great, yeah. Brandy.
I've been working on that one for quite some
Brandy, would you like
time.
To give a shout-out to our supporters on Patreon? We have a wonderful group of people who support this podcast because they believe in... the arts. They support the arts.
Clearly, they support the arts.
And they're very generous. And in all seriousness, we really appreciate all your support. And the Colonel is going to read the list of our Patreon supporters.
Oh, let's see here. We got here, Timmy. We got James Seabright.
Good guy.
Tommy Lane.
Over there in Hawaii.
Serious? No, don't do that. Just read it in your dumbass voice.
Jason Dykes.
Jason, our good friend from Texas.
Malachi.
Yes, Malachi.
Terry Strafford. Shelly Garrett from Nebraska, all the way out from Nebraska to me.
Yeah. She's out
Middle
there.
Earth.
She'll be the first one to be nuked. That's where the silos are at, right?
I think they're in Idaho, too.
Oh, I thought they was out. I know they're out there somewhere.
They're all throughout the Midwest.
Yeah.
I don't like to think of such violent things.
I know.
Bridget Clavey. Brandy
Bridget
McBride.
From Wisconsin.
Jennifer Savoda. Oh, the lovely Banky Glover. Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent, Maja.
From Poland.
Amber Scoville, Marcia Boris, Stacy Allisop, Jody and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson, our friends Ben and Rosanna, who...
From They Walk Among Us.
They Walk Among
top
Us.
Top podcast in Great Britain.
Lorna Violet, Mike Dale, Kelly Charette, Karen Widener, Callie, the lovely redhead.
The lovely
she
Callie,
is.
Yes.
Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno. Now we got Pleasing Terrors on here, Timmy.
Our good friend Mike Brown.
Sarah Bloom.
And you know, I sent Mike Brown this message the other night because I was supposed to, Mark from The Conspirators, we have talked before about doing a podcast together. So I sent Mike Brown a message about it, meaning it sent it to Mark, and it was like this real long message, and I know he thought I was like drunk or something, but sorry, Mike.
You probably were.
Well, probably, but.
So that's it?
No, continue. Oh,
Sarah Bloom.
No, we were waiting for that story to go somewhere.
Oh, no, I screwed up, but Sarah Bloom.
Amber Krupp.
Amber, the Steelers fan. Sorry about the Steelers, Amber. They went down to defeat.
The Now America History Podcast. Jimmy.
Our good friend Joe.
Catherine, in such a vulgar term, Cuck Garage Richardson. Fiona Crisp, Laura, a native girl, O'Reilly.
Yes, Laura O'Reilly, our good friend.
Our lovely Christine Bourgeois, Aaron, Kimberly Cameron, Elise, History Goes Bump.
Yes.
Annette Petre, Lise, Alicia and Chip, Jahara, Marika Smith, Jeff and Don Chestnut, The Backroads to History, and Poems by Jeff.
And Don just had a birthday. So
Don's a lovely lady.
Mm-hmm. Well, happy
Karen
birthday.
Barnes, Rachel Flynn, that's a good Irish name right there to me. Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Lydia Fisher, Phyllis Munson, Melissa Montoya. You killed my father.
Prepare to die.
Oh, Jesus.
Never heard that in an Irish accent. Now, have you? Cindy Lou. Kirsten Malachinsky. Heather Poole. Adam McWaters.
I kind of like his Irish accent.
The Vanish Podcast.
Make me want to throw up.
Canadian True Crime. Christy Lee, our lovely grow up in Toronto there. Insight. Charlie and Allie. Joe Clifford. Mistress Vader. She could just choke you from a distance.
Mistress Vader, yeah. I think there's some like BDSM stuff going on.
I believe there is, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not judging.
No, it's a
have a little bit of fun with the lash there.
Yeah.
Ron Monasterio, Tracy Smith, Jess, John V, Nene, Bridget Bernard, Stacy, Kristen Herr, Shell Weldon, Lady Beverly,
should've
of course.
Just fucking done it myself.
Lady Nicholas. Beverly, who sent me a very nice New Year's message, and we're very nice, Lady Beverly. We're thinking of you.
We love you, Lady Beverly. Daddy, Nicholas, and we got Ryan, Margaret McDonald, Aaron Turner. That's a lovely name. Michelle Johns. Everybody loves Michelle Johns.
Yes, Michelle's cool.
Ryan, did we get Ryan?
I'm Ryan.
And, of course, the one and the only, the fiercest, scariest hound you're ever going to see there, girl. Who would that be, Timmy?
That would be Rudy the Wonder
Dog. Rudy the Wonder Dog. And, of course, everything we do here, Timmy, we do for Dottie.
My mother. Hi, Mom. All right. So that'll be it. Thank you for joining us. And join us again next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Top of the day to you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.